and a fire to see the truth. But I'm gonna take a stand in all I say and do.
Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, where our conversations challenge Christian growth. This is Sharon Hoskins.
And this is Janie Ratzlaff.
And Janie, I have learned so much about agape love over the past few weeks that we've been talking about. We went through 1 Corinthians 13. We dissected it and looked at all kinds of different characteristics that we can evaluate ourselves with. And so today we want to talk about how to implement agape love. How do we implement it? And we can't implement it without a couple of things in place. So let's talk about those things that have to be in place for us to implement agape love in our lives.
All right. I will just start off by telling you that I have also continued to learn, and much to my chagrin, I've seen some lacks, Sharon.
Oh, me too. Not in you. Sorry. That was just in myself.
It is important on how our words come out.
Yes, it is.
Well, if you've seen some lacks, then you are responsible, whether it's in yourself or in me, to lovingly, kindly, gently admonish.
Okay.
All right? But it's been good because it just goes to show us we'll never know the depths, but the faithful heart has to be there for the love to really be implemented. So putting all of the little pieces of the puzzles together really becomes intriguing in walking in the Christian life. Sometimes it just almost appears overwhelming and people can get bogged down, including us.
Right.
But when I look at it, that all the pieces are there that we need to implement, it's going back and where he's saying he's sufficient for all things, and the word of God that he's given us is sufficient. So as we've looked at agape love, what it's done really is to show me that there are some absolutely essentials that have to be daily brought up in our conscious thinking.
Right.
Because not all thoughts are just going to be godly and towards the Lord. And if we are not forming a habit that is from the natural, but being used for the normal Christian life, which is supernatural, then we will get bogged down and go into a battle that we don't really even realize.
But there's two things that have to be in place in our life before we can even start loving with agape love. And the first is salvation, receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord. And with that comes the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Living inside of us. And so we want to talk about the Holy Spirit just a little bit today to explain his role in our life.
Well, more than a little bit, I think we need to spend all of our time on him today.
Okay,
and
okay.
And the implications of what he wants to do. You know, he really has, number one, the hardest job in the whole universe, and that's getting us ready for eternity and for the destiny that God has called. And second of all, he has suffered tremendously in his reputation. And it's a real comfort to see when sometimes our reputations get called into question or get the wrong assumptions. There has been a time when he was almost a word that people didn't want to talk about.
Right. And I think that's still somewhat true
some
today.
And in some circles it is. And then we have the other extreme to where he is really replaced the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ took care of salvation. And now the Holy Spirit does everything else. And there is a truth in that, but that is not the total truth. And I think we can go to the scriptures and start to get established a little bit just on some of the different roles he plays. But let's talk a little bit before we go to the roles just about who he is.
Okay.
Such as many people still call the Holy Spirit it.
Yes.
As though he's a force or an influence, which he is. But he is a person. Okay. And where I think I personally have suffered over the years is I don't know a person without seeing that person with a body.
Right. I think we all struggle there.
Okay. And so to realize I was talking to the Holy Spirit and just saying, I need to know you without skin on. And I'm battling that a little bit. And it's like the still small voice came back and said, well, God Almighty doesn't have skin on. Are you having a problem with him?
And I think some of that has to do with the description in scripture. we call God Father. Mm-hmm. And so there's that representation of a father. And Jesus came to earth in the flesh. And so we have a better time
identifying
with him mm-hmm. as a person.
Yes.
So, and with the Holy Spirit, it's not really described in that manner.
That's right. So I do see that we do
see,
have.
I just said it. It's not really described in that manner. I didn't really mean it, but
he is not described.
He is not described in that manner.
Yes. Well, and so we have, as we continue to learn and say, mm-hmm. words matter. Well, we know now that the Holy Spirit is a person, just mm-hmm. like we are. And he also has a mind and he communicates the thoughts of God. In 1 Corinthians 2:11, it says, "For what man knows things of a man except the spirit of a man or woman, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." Mm. So if we really are going to know Father, right. we need to be able to communicate with the Holy Spirit as he's going to guide us into matters that could be perplexing to us apart from his leading, because that's one of the roles he is to play for us, the body of Christ, and for all that will hear.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
And then what other... There's one characteristic of the Holy Spirit that I know you're going to love, and it's Ephesians 4:30.
He has emotions.
Yes.
Like, yeah. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Ephesians 4:30.
And so we realize that he can be hurt, grieved, quenched. I don't know what other characteristic of emotion we want to put with him, but if God is angry, if God is in anguish over his people, if God is brokenhearted over his people, then I would think everything that Father God experiences, Jesus Christ is there to help us understand that the Holy Spirit also has those same emotions. So we can really go to him and say, "I'm in a mess right now. Mm-hmm. My emotions are topsy-turvy, and I cannot find my way out of the freight train, and so guide me."
And that's really good, because if we understand that he has emotions, then we'll realize that he understands our emotions.
And it has been an incentive for me to then not cause him any negative emotions.
Oh, that's really good.
All right. Just, Lord, I know how much it hurts to be...
rejected.
Yes. Or just ignored.
Uh-huh.
Or comments made that the person didn't mean it in a bad way, but it was very insensitive and felt an arrow go in. And I thought, every time that happens, I need to go back and say, "Am I doing that to you?"
Right.
Unawares.
Yeah.
So I'm using that as a gauge to hold me to a higher, more consistent standard and saying, if it hurts me, it hurts you. So if it's my flesh, point out to me so we can get it corrected.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's something that needs to be me sensitized to what I'm causing you to feel, then Lord, show me.
And you know, I think that's really important that we balance everything that we experience with our relationship with God, everything that we experience, and maybe not everything. I mean, I maybe expanded on that just a little bit, but that...
The essence.
Yes. I mean, if I'm doing this in the relationship with someone else, how they treat me, am I doing that to God?
Yes.
You know, just that kind of evaluation to look at ourselves and see where we may be faltering as well.
Well, and I have learned over the years of the counseling that if there's, let's say, two or three people in your realm of circle friendships, and they all are grading you in, grating.
Oh, okay.
Grating you, getting on your nerves about something,
okay.
All right? That is probably the Lord giving you a physical picture of where we may be still having a blindness. And so instead of getting defensive or critical against those people that are grating, G-R-A-T-I-N-G-S, mm-hmm. we need to say, "Oh, Lord, that's a picture you're letting me see. I need to examine my heart."
Oh,
and these are
good.
Just simple ways that mm-hmm. we can keep ourselves accountable and be in agape love.
Right. Those are really great examples, because with emotions, we all feel them. We sometimes react to them and probably more times than not.
Pardon me for laughing.
and they can sometimes control our being. Yes. Everything that we do and say comes out of emotion. And so if we can take that and understand that the Holy Spirit has emotions and relate to that in a way that will hold us accountable.
And build up.
And build us up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really great.
Well, and then the last point before we go into maybe just some different roles that he plays, one of them is that he's the other helper. And Sharon, in the busyness of our lives, I don't know that I've talked to anybody this week that has not been in need of help, of some sort of help. And how many times do we just, as the common phrase, suck it up and gut it out, and yet to our own detriment? And in John 14:26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." And the Lord Jesus has told us how he wants to help and actually do it for us and through us. And so I've really said, let me be sensitized to how you want to help, because wouldn't it be ridiculous to realize that we're standing here on the stage of life and there's five other people off stage that are just waiting to come on and help you where you need help, and you won't let them come on to the stage of your life and help you?
Yeah.
And then we wonder why we get perplexed, overwhelmed, discouraged, anxious,
depressed
and everything
else. Feel lonely.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So there's a lot of different roles that are brought out just in John 14:15-16. Have you got some of your favorite ones that you like that you could share today?
John 15:26. "But when the Comforter is come, who I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me."
And now there's a good subtle lesson there, because many times we look to the Holy Spirit to testify of himself. So it's just whatever the Holy Spirit's doing. And I want to hold this in balance. But the Holy Spirit says, I really don't want to be on center stage. Everything's been committed unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all things. And so I'm going to testify, the Holy Spirit says, of what he has given. So we look back to the fact that Jesus Christ is still, if we want to say, they all have different functions, but right now, growing the body of Christ, him being the bridegroom, us being the bride, the Holy Spirit wants us to see that role. And so he testifies of what the Lord Jesus has said that he's doing for his bride.
Okay.
And so we need to realize that Jesus Christ just didn't die on the cross and go away to get our places ready for us, and he's not really involved moment by moment, thought by thought, in our daily life.
Right.
And then, in John 16:8-9, this is something that I've had, a two-way approach to. John 16:8-9 says, "And when he," referring to the Holy Spirit, "has come, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you'll see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." And then he says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now." Well, I always looked at the fact that the Lord convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment was somehow just kind of being done like a force, like a power. And then I realized, no, he's doing it through his people, his children, through how our lives are displayed. So now I have the pleasure as well as the responsibility of being a vessel to help the world be convicted of sin. And how do we do that? Well, by living a righteous life.
Okay.
And then showing forth what a righteous life looks like in practical application. And then here's the toughie. And then being willing to be bold enough, but tender and kind enough with our words to talk about the judgment that is to come, and that the Lord is even using in not condemnation, but in child training right now. Judging our flesh that's already really been dealt with at the cross, but we've got to learn how to live out what he has already done. And so there is a judgment that doesn't have condemnation, but it certainly has exhortation. It certainly has admonishment. It certainly has teaching. It certainly has instruction. And all those words have a little bit different meaning. But boy, what a challenge to not be spending too much time with your electronic devices and television when this is a priority for us.
So it's like when we say when we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so when we say we're walking in the Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and we're allowing Him to use us to be these three things: conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, just by the way we live our lives scripturally.
And you know what? If I was an English teacher, I would say, you've just started to show me how to diagram.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense, because I think that I've done the same thing with the scripture and looking at it as some sort of force or power that He does that, but He does it through His children.
Yes, yes. Now, that's a good way to summarize it. Yes, yeah. A force, and yet it's His force through us.
Through us.
Yes, and so all the more exhortation to submit and yield, even when we don't want to.
And unfortunately, we don't really understand how the Holy Spirit works, so we don't really walk in the Spirit like we should, because we've rejected learning about the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, because we're afraid.
Yes.
He's a topic that we don't want to talk about.
Or because He speaks in a still, small voice, Sharon, and we don't hear. And it's not because we have earplugs in due to loud music. It is because we don't get still enough to hear the Holy Spirit speak.
Okay.
And when I am willing to get quiet and discipline all the outside noise, influence, telephones, thoughts, and what have you, and really zero in, He is, and I want to say this with all reverence, but He's like a chatty Cathy. He has so much that He wants to share, so much that He wants to bring alive, that I have to get a notebook and a paper and pencil and start writing it down, because it's just coming and coming and coming.
Well, and I think there's another discipline besides quietness, is when He does speak, moving in that direction, doing those things in which He has said, or applying those things in which He has said. So that discipline is key as well.
Well, and then that is perfect leading into John 14:23, where it says that Jesus answered and said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Mm-hmm. Now, I know enjoying my home, the building, the house, but enjoying people that I love that are in that house. How comfortable, I might be doing something, and then I want to just take 15 seconds to go in and say, "I love you," or "thank you for this." But there's just an overflowing of just the enjoyment of the word abiding, being at home with one another. But when we're too busy, or we're looking at where the people that are supposed to be helping us are doing something else, then we lose that sense of enjoyment, of abiding. And the next thing we're wanting to do is bark all out the law and legalism, mm-hmm, of get this done so we can get pressure off.
Right.
And if we would really probably abide, a lot of the things we're trying to put pressure on would kind of melt away. We would find that they fall more in the non-essential category, and learning that what we thought had to be done in the next 10 minutes could be done maybe in the next 3 days.
Right. Not feeling that pressure and having peace.
Yes. And I'm glad you used that word, Sharon, because we have a responsibility to reject pressure that's from the world. We are told that we have peace, but not at the peace that the world gives. And the world wants peace that says, get it off my plate and put it onto yours, or give me an escape pattern, or give me something that takes my mind,
or makes me feel better.
Or makes me feel better.
Makes my life at ease.
That's right. Yeah. And the first thing you go is the refrigerator for some of us. All right. But there's a peace that passes understanding. And it's not removing us from all those pressures. It's from being overcoming with those pressures around, but we reject the pressures that don't have anything to do with our eternal.
Right.
That's where we have to learn to be warriors and battle. So I would say, look, if a pressure doesn't create peace, because it's a pressure that you need to address, like this morning there was a pressure, and the pressure created peace because it was the gentle guiding of the Holy Spirit to make a certain phone call, and as soon as it was made, there was tranquility because that correct pressure was released.
Okay.
Then I had another phone call, and I had to look at it, and I said, no, that's going to cause pressure of time.
Okay.
So I chose to reject it, even though it was from somebody I dearly care about. So can you see the practical application of what you have to reject through discipline? And we learn that through the instruction.
John 16:14.
Yeah, let's try that. There's so much in John 14:15 and 16, because it's almost all red letter. If you have a red letter edition, it's the Lord speaking.
He shall glorify me, for I shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. We probably should add 13 in that, don't you think?
Go ahead.
However, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you.
Okay, so we have the assurance that everything that the Father wants us to know, wow, talk about being in tuned with the Godhead.
Well, that's a channel of communication, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
So that shows how God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit.
And stop and think about the care, because for somebody walking down the street, you really have no need or burden to go communicate things of real importance to them. You may give him a smile because that's your desire, but he's saying here, everything that I am, I'm committing it unto you. You, my creation, you, my family, you, my bride. And stop and think about the power of love. When I look on Facebook and I see so many little sayings that are people's hearts crying out to be loved, to be recognized, to be accepted, and it's here. Mm-hmm. It's here for us.
Right. Okay, so let's finish up with this last one on John 16:15. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you.
So we have the assurance, repeating and repeating, we have the assurance that there is no excuse for us to stay in continued ignorance.
Right.
We may go deeper and deeper in our learning, but there's no excuse for us to say, I don't know.
Right.
We need to ask, and the Holy Spirit wants to provide.
We've been talking about the different roles the Holy Spirit plays. He testifies of Christ, convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He establishes our bodies as his temple, where the Father and Son can reside, guides us into all truth, glorifies Christ, and discloses the things of Christ to us. And so it's all the time we have for today. Can you close us out in prayer? And then we'll pick up here next week.
All right. Father God, what a joy and what a delight to see the sufficiency and the intensity and the sovereignty that you have committed yourself unto your creation. And Father, you are not willing that any should perish. So for any ears that hear today, just going to three chapters where you were speaking can give us hope. And Father, we praise you, we thank you, we glorify you, have gratitude beyond words, and we thank you for the words that you've given us today, and we love you. In your Son's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us for our challenging conversation. And if you would like to hear this broadcast again, you can go to SharonHearts.org. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
I will choose Christ. I will choose love. I choose to serve.